ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Tuesday, May 22nd, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Miss Melody. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I am too. Just another day older and uglier, but I'm doing fine.
Well, I'm not. You're just full of them today, so I'm not going to touch any of them with a.
Well, you know. Go ahead.
I feel I just can't compete with you. So.
Well, you know, I enjoy living. I preach hard messages, and I do cover a lot of things that will say unpleasant. But my Savior gave me a joy unspeakable and full of glory,
yes.
and generally a general happiness that I share with people. And when I like somebody, I like to pick on and laugh with them. That's the way it should be, right?
Absolutely.
So,
well, you must really
get serious,
like me. You must really, really like me, because
I do
pick on me a lot.
I do like you. I even like Todd, the one that runs our show today. I like picking on him, so yeah.
Well, you know, gold today, I guess... They don't like gold because they're always picking on gold. You know, well, that, you know. Anyway, we have gold basically unchanged, $1,292.40 today. Silver's up 3 cents today at $1,662. Platinum was up $6 today at $910. And palladium was down to at $996. The USDX today was stronger by 0.05. And crude oil was down 15 cents at 72.09. And the some pressure on the stock markets today, but you know, nothing to get all excited about. Down 178 points, not even 1%, about 0.75% at 24,835. NASDAQ was down 15 points at 7,378. The S&P was down 8 points, 2,724. And the 10-year yield still holding the 3.06 level. Percent, and euro was 118, and you know, it was I haven't looked at Bitcoin for a while. It was at 81.96, but you know, it's just Pastor Butch, it's everyone is getting a few calls. People can't believe that gold dipped below 1300, and it truly is amazing that it did, considering everything that is just.
Oh. It is.
I mean, there really is not good news. I mean, you tell me what good news is out there. I don't see it.
I have got some good news, actually. Some not in the, well, I guess it's related to financial, but it's really not directly related with financial. But I want to mention about gold. Yep, it dipped below 1300, Melody. But it was a whole lot less than that not too many years ago.
That's correct.
You know, so you can't lose. You may fluctuate up and down with the dollar getting stronger and weaker, but gold never changes value. The dollar changes value around it. You follow what I'm saying?
How correct you are. I know exactly what you're saying.
So
that's
people will say gold's losing value? No, it's not.
No.
The dollar's fluctuating. And when the dollar collapses, gold will go up. That's just the way it is. So,
and the dollar will lose value.
Oh, absolutely. It does every day. It does every day. But you know, I told you I wanted to cover some good news for just a bit, and I do. And I'm going to do it in ranks of way I think importance on some of this. As most people already know, Iowa just passed and signed into law the most restrictive ban on murdering unborn children of any state in the country so far. Anything that after a baby has a heartbeat in the womb, it can no longer be murdered, and that's about 6 weeks old. So that is a huge success. We should never have had the idea we can murder children in the first place, but nonetheless, it is a step in the right direction. And even little old West Virginia, right here in the middle of nowhere, Podunk, USA, is going to have a constitutional amendment on murdering children in November. Now, that's a good thing. And the state's actually speaking up and saying that even if the Supreme Court would override this, we're going to tell them we'll make our own rules in the state. How's that, Mel? Is that pretty good?
I think that's pretty good.
I think it's pretty good. It's about picking time. And I'm an independent voter. I'm a Constitution Party member. I don't vote Republican, Democrat, very, very seldom. And we had a man running for office here for U.S. Senate. Tom Blankenship was the CEO of Massey Energy for a long time, and he ran against Morsi, and of course Manchin's ran on the Democrat side, but Morsi won the Republican nomination. Well, Tom Blankenship, and I don't know the man well, but I've talked to him. He was innocent of all the charges put against him, and that's a fact. He's already taken back court to prove his innocence and probably end up suing some people. But nonetheless, he is now going to be the candidate on the Constitution Party. Now, that's made headlines all... Yeah, he's made headlines all across country. He's the first really relevant candidate in the state to run on office, and because he has a lot of people who follow him. So the Constitution Party will have Tom Blankenship to vote for in the state this year. He has a lot of supporters. There is, and really, by the grace of God, perhaps an outside chance that he could win the election as a third party, which is unheard of in this country. The Democrats and Republicans have locked him out for years, intentionally locked him out. And, of course, both parties, as Democrats and Republicans, are pretty close to the same thing. Although in West Virginia, since Republicans took over the first time in 40 years in the House and Senate, we have seen some good things happen, including the constitutional ban on murdering children. So I think that's some pretty good news, don't you?
That is great news. It really is. And hopefully West Virginia will set an example for the rest of the nation.
So. I hope when this constitutional amendment passes that they will stick to the guns and tell the feds, we're going to do it our way here. You do what you please. I don't know whether it happened or not, but we will see. And the state of Michigan, bless their hearts, has passed a bill that goes into effect next month that the NSA is banned from the state. What do you think about them apples?
That's pretty interesting.
said Michigan has become the first state to ban the NSA intrusive data collection practice by passing a law that prohibits law enforcement and state agencies from turning over personal data for the federal government without due process. So that's a good blow in favor of the Fourth Amendment. So that to me is phenomenal. I mean, that's a step. Now, compared to saving unborn babies, it's not that huge, but it's still huge knowing how long the NSA has been involved in spying on us and using information against us for how many decades now. And to see maybe perhaps, and I say this with everything in me, as a pastor, I've been preaching hard for a lot of years trying to tell people what's coming. And maybe because some people are actually starting to stand for the truth of God and His Word, He's honoring us with some victories. That's what I like to believe anyway. You know, I'm all for the American way, Melody, as it used to be. I'm all for the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence. I'm all for that. But those are not the answer without Christ. I'm all for them. I think under Christ, as it's meant to be, there are a powerful set of rules that can be used. But without Christ, as been proven already, they crumble. They are not able to maintain a government of a people that's immoral. This was made for a moral people. So if we go back to Christ, we can win some victories. And again, maybe save several thousand babies' lives, and maybe even stop the NSA from spying in some states. And even to back that up a little more and some good news, April set a new record in the month of April, for gun background checks, people buying guns. In April alone, 2,233,213 guns were sold on the books. That's 9,000 more than the last previous record back in 2016. Now, a lot of people buy and sell guns between each other. I do that a lot. But I did do my part for the quota last month. I bought a pistol for a long time. I sold one, bought a Kel-Tec 22 Magnum 30 rounds is what it holds. It's light as a feather, easy to carry, and I got 30 shots. If I don't hit it in 30 times, I better quit anyway. But anyway, so those are good signs. People are starting to stand up, step forward, and say no. Now with another shooting in Texas, of course, I holler for gun control. People crying over that again. And I think the American people, not all of them, but enough are starting to see this is all done on purpose to scare the people back into the cage. And maybe, Melody, maybe by the grace of God, we'll see some good things come out of this. What do you think?
Maybe. Being the cynic that I am, I always have to think, okay. But I think a lot of those are really great. What's interesting really is about the NSA in Michigan. And We often say, these states, we need to fix things from the local levels.
We do.
Because it's not going to happen from D.C. It has to happen locally. It has to happen with your smaller communities and within the state. So it's interesting to see that the state is taking over. Did they actually pass it?
It goes into effect next month, in June. Mm. They did. And, and maybe it's time people start reading the 10th Amendment again. The state created a federal government, not the other way around.
Yeah.
So it makes the states, we'll say, more powerful than the federal government. The one that does the creating is more powerful than the creation, if you know what I'm talking about. So the states are actually, and I don't like to use the word sovereign, but I will. The states are actually the sovereign in this type of government, not the federal government. And we knew that because Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 17, says that the federal government has no authority outside 10 square miles of Washington, D.C., and on federal property ceded to them by the states for forts, post office, whatever. Other than that, they have no authority. But no one knows that, so the feds pass laws, the states obey them. It should be the other way around. That's why we're in this mess. So maybe some states are starting to realize, hey, this isn't right. We're not going to obey the laws to do what we know is evil, like murdering our children or spying on our people. That's a good thing in my mind.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So anyway, I want to share some good news. Just to get everybody kind of understanding that the battle is, the nation is going to hell in a handbasket, so to speak, but there are some things coming along that we are seeing a little bit of reprieve, and those who remain faithful may see some more miracles happen.
I'm still interested about that NSA. You're going to have to tell me where that article's at so I can...
Let me see if I can find it real quick. I will tell you. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Give me a second to find it again. Let's see. It was found... Freethoughtproject.com. Freethoughtproject.com.
Okay.
There you go. Don't worry. I'll take care of you. But anyway.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, if you want to get serious about some economic things, we can do that. But I just want to give the people a little bit of sunshine before we pour the clouds back over again.
That is really good news. And, absolutely the little babies. And, as I said, I was interested in the NSA. It's not that I wasn't interested in the other. I think the other is really good news. Did we ever hear any more? I sent you a text back. Did we hear any more about the Mooney out of West Virginia and the...
I've contacted his office, and I've heard nothing back from him.
Okay.
See, he's not in my area. He's not a rep, but nonetheless, I did contact his office. Say, like, talk to him, but I haven't heard anything more back from them, or heard anything more about that.
Huh. Okay. All right.
I'm gonna tell.
We'll keep. All right. Yep. We'll keep following up on that. So, what else do you have for us today?
Well, I guess an article here too from the organicprepper.com. I thought it was kind of telling in a sense. I keep saying this over and over, and I can say this personally. I don't mind sharing my personal life with people. Marsha sometimes fusses at me because I share too much, but I have nothing to hide. Financially, we're making it, but financially, it's getting tighter for us every day. And that's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. So I can't, no point in saying different. But 43% of Americans can't pay for food and rent. Now, that is a fact. 43%, Melody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll just read part of this. All those reports about how lots of Americans can't afford $1,000 surprise expense, like a medical bill or a car repair. And, now, that's very true. Most people can't. It would strap me to, I'd have to do something. But, most people can't put $1,000 cash. And, Melody, $1,000 a day is nothing. You know that.
True. Mm-hmm.
It says, forget about additional expenses. It turns out that nearly half the families in America are struggling to pay for food and for rent, and that means that the economic collapse isn't just coming, it is here. United Way has done a study of a group of Americans they call ALICE, Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. It means they're working, but they can't keep up the bills. Now, that fits a lot of people. I know personally it does. The study found that this group does not make the money needed to survive in the modern society, which means inflation. Alice is your child care worker, your parental Social Security, the cashier at your supermarket, the gas attendant, the salesperson at your big box store, your waitress, a home health aide, an office clerk. Alice cannot always pay the bills, has little or nothing in savings, and is forced to make tough choices such as deciding between quality child care or paying the rent. One unexpected car repair or medical bill can push these financially strapped families over the edge. Now, that's sad. That is sad, and it's true. I know it is. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday that has some very serious problems with skin problems, with his hands especially, bleeding and cracking. They cannot figure out what's causing it. He could not afford $50 to the doctor to get medicine. And he's a logger when he gets to work, when the weather allows it. Now, think about that. I know you and I think, well, you know, that's $50. Of course, $50. But he couldn't afford $50 to go see a doctor to get his hands fixed. His hands are cracked and bleeding. That is really, really a sad situation, is it not?
It really is. And, you know, again, it's just our health care, how expensive it is. And it is sad that they can't pay for $50 to go to the doctor. They wouldn't be able to pay for the medication, though, either, that they were going to give them.
Well, he said if he could pay the doctor's visit, he thought he could get the money scraped for the medication. I said he does work part-time when the weather's decent. He is a logger, and loggers, and the weather was raining outside like it is right now. You know, they can't do much in the woods, obviously. So he doesn't get to work, but maybe a couple of days a week sometimes. He's a hard worker, but he just can't afford to get his hands fixed. Now, he's working when he does work with his hands cracked and bleeding. Can you imagine how painful that is?
Yes. Yes. Very difficult. Very difficult. Very
so,
sad.
Yes. So this is not, but he's not by himself. 43% of Americans are having a hard time paying unexpected expenses. It really is tough.
And it's really difficult to people to recognize the fact that there are people having problems because, you know, we are told 24/7 that, oh, the economy is just doing great, that everything is great, the tax reform is great, jobs are galore, wages are rising, you know, and everything is supposed to be hunky-dory. But you haven't heard that in a long time. But everything is supposed to be great. And then you hear stories where 43% of the population is having difficulties meeting the basic needs. And so there is something wrong.
Well, you know,
with the information that they give us.
That's very true. And the ones that are struggling like that are not making the news. And a lot of them are not saying anything because what are they going to do? They do the best they can. What's used to whine about it? They do what they can do. You know, and most of the life people still have a little bit of, integrity left and character. They don't like that people know they're struggling. They want to do the best they can to take care of themselves. When that's lacking in this nation in a lot of cases also. But yeah. A lot of these people that are hard workers don't want to admit, hey, I can't afford to go to the doctor.
But we have to go to a break right now. And we'll be right back right after these few short messages.
Even while we sleep, we will find you right.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Trading 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188 for Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. Sign up for the weekly newsletter. You can also listen to programs. They are archived on a long-term basis. And we're hearing all kinds of noise. Is that coming from you, Pastor Butch?
I hear you cutting in and out, so I hear.
Yeah, hear a lot of noises. But anyway.
What kind of noise are you hearing?
Well, it's not voices, okay?
Okay.
DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com. Please make sure you go to the website, sign up for a weekly newsletter, and these radio programs are archived on a long-term basis. And, you know, we were talking about people going into the break about how 43% of them are having difficulties paying their basic needs. And, you know, there was another teacher's protest for more dollars for education. Yes. They were complaining about their dwindling paychecks that are steadily losing ground to the state's rising cost of living. And among the biggest reasons for lagging pay is one of the least understood, and that's the rising cost of state pensions. And it's just not Colorado alone where an underfunded retirement system has played a part in the teachers' uprising that we see sweeping across the U.S. We saw it in West Virginia. We saw it in Kentucky. We saw it in other states. Kentucky, they had educators in at least 20 school districts. They walked out of their classrooms in March. But pay and other benefits, such as health care, have been at the forefront of the teachers' demand. Another state is Arizona, where a historic statewide strike has closed down schools for days. But that doesn't mean rising pension costs are not a factor behind the scenes. Public pension systems nationwide face record levels of debt totaling $1.4 trillion, and that's according to a recent Pew Charitable Trust study. And that puts downward pressure on wages and benefit checks as governments continue to struggle to close this funding gap. And it suggests that the recent outcry over teacher pay could spread in coming years, whether these pension costs are widely acknowledged as a driving factor or not. Olivia Mitchell, she's the executive director of the Pension Research Council at the University of Pennsylvania, says we're headed for a big crisis across this country. Pensions are now becoming the tail that wags the government dog, if you will. And again, here we're seeing something that, you know, when 43% now can't afford their basic incomes, you have the baby boomers that are retiring, and they're not going to have a pension plan, not when you're looking at unfunded pensions at $1.4 trillion.
And what will be the government's answer? Raise the taxes on you and I.
No, it's going to be reduce the pensions.
Well, that too. But
you're not going to get 100%. You're going to be getting 30%.
They'll cut the funds and they'll raise taxes. I promise you they're going to raise taxes because that's what all they know how to do.
Well, what they do is they always bring in the children. They always bring in the schools to raise the taxes. And yes, then they'll lower the pensions, you know, because no one can talk against, oh my gosh, you're a terrible person if you talk against the schools and, you know, the supplies and pencils, because that's what they always relate to. Oh, you, what are you pulling the pencils from the children? You know,
I know that's just the way it works. But you know, a lot of people. And my son works in Colorado Springs. He can retire in 5 years as a teacher in Colorado Springs and a principal and different things. And of course, they said that they give them 75% of what they're making in pension when they retire. That can't go on forever. That's impossible to maintain. It sounds good, looks good on paper, and up to now maybe it's working. But it can't go on forever, Melody. You're right. And I hope that when he does get a chance to slow down one of these days, it's not going to turn around and bite him in the tail, because it's not going to be there. And I'm afraid that's going to be a fact in a lot of people's futures.
You know, the problem is people don't read the fine print in these contracts. You know, yeah, they're being all these, you know, they're being promised these great pensions. But it does, and we're talking about $1.4 trillion that these pension plans debt. We're looking at record stock market prices.
Yes.
And it's not helping. So these companies, these states, have made promises that they're not going to pay, kind of just like the government. They've made promises that they're not going to be able to pay. We have debt that can't be paid. And the contract, they'll just break the contract. But if people read the fine print, I bet they could find in those pension contracts somewhere that it allows them to readjust the pensions if it's going broke. But they're mismanaged. They're you know, and they made promises that they won't be able to make.
People who live on, we'll say, fixed incomes. I'm almost 70 years old, and I still work. I do. And I have no problem with that. I don't. I still work part-time on an old job I had for, I've been with 40-some years. I still have a couple of small rental properties. They don't bring in much, but I maintain those going. And I'm going on 70 years old. I don't know how long I'm going to do it. But I thank God I can still do it. But a lot of people can't do that, man. They don't have the option. They're health-wise, they can't do it. They're living only on Social Security. And Medicare, Medicaid, whatever they have, and they can't afford this. You know, and along with the article I shared a minute ago about the 41% of people, this article that was found by Tyler Durden said that 40% of all Americans can't afford middle class lifestyle. 51 million people and 51 million families, households, are living in poverty. And this article really made a lot of sense. And this is, and I'll read it very, very quickly here. Even though the stock market trades at near record highs, joblessness suppressed at decade lows, and corporate buybacks profits booming via Trump tax reform, poverty is exploding all over America. One of the primary objectives of the Federal Reserve's monetary policy of this past decade was to generate the wealth effect. Artificially, now this is important, artificially driving valuations of stocks and bonds to nosebleed valuations, American households would feel more prosperous, therefore be more inclined to borrow and spend, even if some households did not own financial instruments. In other words, the central bank free money, anything goes induced economic recovery, was supposed to trigger fast-paced economic growth as households would reignite the service-based economy. While this perception management only worked for the wealthiest households who owned financial instruments, the reckless monetary policy of the Federal Reserve created a massive problem of wealth inequality among Americans. According to a new study obtained exclusively by Axios, more than 40% of the households can't afford the basics of middle-class lifestyle, including rent, transportation, child care, and cell phone. So the tax cut obviously did help a lot of people, but not the middle class, and not folks that really need the worst. You know that.
Absolutely, I know that. I was talking to a lady this afternoon, and I was telling her about the problems and, you know, where one and one is not equal in two, and she says to me, "You really don't like Trump, do you?" And I says, "This really isn't about Trump. This is about adding one and one and trying to get two. If you look at all the numbers that they give us, and if you look at everything that it's supposed to accomplish, it's not equaling two.
No,
so
it's not.
This isn't about Trump. This is about our economy.
It's about facts. It's about facts.
It's about
F-A-C-T-S, facts.
And she says, "Well, you're so gloom and doomy. Is that what you talk about on the radio?" I says, "No, I talk the truth on the radio."
You know,
go ahead.
I was going to say, you can ignore the truth. I don't care whether the truth will say is good or bad, makes you feel good or bad. The truth's still the truth. And to ignore the truth, if it's going to hurt, is really stupid.
And you know the old saying, you know, people can't handle the truth. Well, you know what? To some degree, that is true. It's hard because lots of times, even when you accept gold as a way to preserve your financing power, and you begin to understand the fiat currency, and you understand how that plays in inflation and how the government needs it, and you can kind of keep it simple, you can become complicated. Once you come to the realization and to the truth, that means you have to make decisions. People don't want to make decisions. Most people want everything to stay the same. But once you know the truth, then your life changes, and you have to make decisions. You have to make decisions that, well, gee, I'm going to get rid of those fiat dollars and buy some gold, because now you begin to understand of what gold does to preserve your purse, and it goes in various other parts, you know, whether we're talking about trade, whether we're talking about deficits, whether we're talking about pension plans. Folks, if you know about the truth about your pension plans, are you just going to let them sit there and take, you know, a huge percentage? And I've talked to people who said, I don't want to pay the penalties or the fines if I withdraw my funds. And they say, I know I'm going to lose 70% of my money. So you'd rather take the chance of losing 70% of your money instead of paying 25% in taxes. So, you know, and so there's things that people can do.
Doesn't make any sense.
But that's my point. When you understand the truth, you have to make these decisions. And a lot of people reject the truth because they don't want to make decisions.
Now, sometimes it's easier to plead ignorance and keep your head in the sand, so to speak. And of course, what have we done as a people, as a nation, as a whole, for the last 100 years? Who did we turn to when we got in a tight spot? Did we go out and get another job? A lot of people did. But did we turn to, you know, for help from somebody that we could earn ourselves, or somebody else personally probably could help us? Or did we turn to government and say, hey, we need help? And who's there to offer the benefits? Government is. And why is that? Because when they offer benefits, there's strings attached, there's hooks in it. And you become a ward of the state. You cannot be a free man, Melody, and be state kept. Is that pretty clear to people?
It should be.
You know, I mean, that's common sense. If you don't know any other thing else, it's common sense. Whoever feeds you, clothes you, and houses you is your boss, if you will remain fed, clothed, and housed. Now, that's pretty simple. So you don't bite the hand that feeds you. And that's prophesied in scriptures in Nehemiah chapter 11 and Jeremiah chapter 5. It's prophesied that whenever the government takes care of you, they own you. That's what they said, they have dominion of your body even. They own your body. That's why I can tell you to have, you know, get vaccinations, wear helmets, fasten seat belts. They own you, your own property. We got that way because we trusted them to supply our needs, and this is why we're in the mess we're in. Now, that's my little sermon for the day. I'll shut up.
Okay. What was a good little sermon?
Well, I mean, it's just the truth, you know, but I'll just read an article here from Ron Paul. The government spends $52,000 a second. That's the debt explosion. Every bubble goes through different phases before it finally bursts. They all end in a euphoric crack up boom. In less than a year, the U.S. government has been clocking in a debt at an average of $52,000 per second. Debt, $52,000 a second. That's more than the average American family makes in a year. How long can it go that far? It has to reach an end somewhere. $52,000 a second, Melody. My mind can't wrap around that. Now, I know you make it by 5 seconds. I realize that. But I just, you know.
yes, it's a lot easier for me. Yeah.
But that's huge. Most Americans don't make that much a year. And boom, in 1 second, it's debt for the guys. That's not counting what they spend. That's what they overspend a second. That's not counting what they spend per second. That's how much you go in debt per second. Imagine.
Yeah, I know. I saw that article, and it really is incredible. And it really does. It should put things into perspective for people. But you know, it is kind of like if their bellies aren't hungry yet, they're just going to go along. And it was the same conversation. And my conversation with my client today. She's been a long time client, and you know, we always had a long, good, interesting conversations and so forth. And you know, people are kind of getting they just get used to things and think that the government can continue to its status quo. They'll be able to pull us out of any problem that we have. If you go back to 2008 and we see the troubles we went into, the government pulled us out, they're going to pull us out again. The government will be able to do it. I think once you begin thinking that way, you truly do become, their, I don't want to say slave, but...
Well, that's what it boils down to. The Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender.
I mean, but you acknowledge their control over you.
Ownership.
Yeah.
I know we don't want to hear that, but it's the way it is. How else could they tell you how long your grass can be in your yard? And now you say, well, that's a housing project. No, that makes no difference. If they control you and everything you can build, say, and do, you got to be licensed to do business. You got to be licensed to get married. You got to be licensed in some place to be and buy a gun. License is permission to do what otherwise would be illegal. Why is it illegal for me to start a business? Why do I need permission from the government to start a business and feed my family? Why when I earn a dollar, do they take 30% off the top before I can get the dollar in my hand? Is that liberty? I mean, and what is slavery? Slavery is 30%, 50%, or 1% of what you earn. How much does it take to be a slave? How much before you say, well, that's too much, I'm a slave now? I submit to you if they get one penny of a dollar, that's too much. So, I mean, that's just the way it is.
It is. So yeah, I mean but she's not alone in this world in thinking this way, and people who actually understand money and gold and why they bought gold, they're beginning to think a little bit like that too. They think that our problems are going to be solved. And again, this isn't about Trump. This isn't about President Trump. This isn't about things that he's doing or not doing. This is about a government that is, and I don't want to hear deep state and all this. This is about a government that we have. They're all inclusive from the top up all the way down, of out of control. It's truly out of control.
They are desperate.
They are truly desperate. And I think all these little changes that we see, these give and takes, one minute there's tariffs, the next minute they're not tariffs. Granted, I think bringing it to the table is important. But what has it been accomplished? And I think it is that we're so desperate that they can't do the things that perhaps they want to do.
Well, go ahead.
The government might own us because of the debt, but who owns the United States?
Who owns the politicians? That's the point. Who makes the laws and who owns them? It's just the way it is. We can kid ourselves all we want, but we're no longer a sovereign nation, if you will. We're no longer a free people. We can say it all we want. We can get up and pledge. We can sing. We can do what we want to do. That just appeases the masters because the people are happy and dumbed down.
Yep.
That's just the way it is.
And we go back to the stock market.
Yes.
That keeps people happy. And I'm unhappy because we're going into a break. And but we'll be right back after these few short moments. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every...
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. We're going to carry through the special from yesterday, $1,030, which is $25 face value of 90% silver and a mint state $62 $10 Liberty gold piece. It does include your shipping costs, and it's a great little package for $1,000. And $30. So give us a call, 800-375-4188. Just briefly, I just want to talk about that, you know, again, there was an interview with President Donald Trump today, and he said that the White House is continuing preparations for his expected meeting with North Korea leader, but that he was prepared to cancel or delay it if certain conditions were not met. He was speaking to reporters ahead of the meeting with South Korea's president at the White House, and he reiterated his assertion that Pyongyang by denuclearize as a condition of the planned meeting next month in Singapore. So, you know, you can listen to, you know, 20 people, and half of them will say, you know, it's, you know, it'll be a done deal, and the other half says probably not. So it's just one of those that, but it seems to be going in the direction that it might not be held. But then again, who knows? Because we can't ever trust much of the information that is released from anywhere anymore, really.
Well, I have, I have to say that was amazing how Un changed his mind about nuclear weapons and decided to meet and talk peace. I don't know exactly what happened with that. People say, well, Trump was tough with him, and that's why he did it. I'm not saying yay or nay. I don't know that. But he did really seem to come around very quickly with the idea of talking to South Korea and said, I'll give up my nuclear weapons. You know, and I do believe China had a lot of influence in that also, because they didn't want to get maybe in a row with the U.S. right now either. So I don't know. It's interesting. But we'll know soon.
Well, you know. Well, China wants to protect the border at North Korea because they don't want any refugees coming up from South Korea. So, I mean, they do have a vested interest in keeping that border and everything intact, and they don't want anything to disrupt that. And, you know, from what I heard President Trump say in the day, he was saying that, you know, North Korea will become very wealthy, you know, if they, you know, go along with this agreement. But I think why he pulled back last week was because you had Bolton talking on mainstream interviews that on the news programs that, you know, if he doesn't go along with this, if I remember correctly, that it's going to be the Libya penalty.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to treat him like Libya. Well, we all know what happened to Libya. And, you know, shortly thereafter, all of a sudden he says, I'm not going to totally denuclearize and you know, have a sudden turnaround. So so it may not happen in June. So we'll, and I thought June, they came around and did this awfully quick. And it's hard to believe that when you're talking to countries and something that this important and so forth, that you can get it all together in such a short period of time and do it correctly.
I don't know how it happened. I don't know the details. We will see. June will be here before you know it. And June's almost here now. So we will see. Time will tell.
See.
And I personally like to see it worked out, but there would be peace.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I would too.
I mean, that's the way it should be. You know, back to a different article here, too. And I don't know if you noticed in your area. I'm sure you have. Have you watched the price of gas go up last week or two?
Yes.
The average price on gas right now is $3.23 a gallon across country. California is the highest average of there. California is 379. The lowest is 254 in Louisiana.
That's New York. That's New York City is 499.
Ooh, wow. Well, I went to church this past weekend up next to Elkins, West Virginia. I went through a little town called Huttonsville. The gas was $2.89.9 when I went through. I come back up through the same area, $3.10.9, about 3-4 hours later. Now, that's a huge jump, is it not, in we'll say a 4-hour gap?
It's a pretty big jump.
It is a big jump. And so gasoline, whether you like it or not, is going up, and they said it's because of they are phasing in the summer-grade gasoline, which helps prevent smog. And so we'll see. I don't know. It's because of higher crude oil prices. That may be part of it also. All I know is people are hurting at the pump, and people who are barely paying rent and buying groceries can't afford to pay $3.50 a gallon for gasoline. We will see what happens. And of course, that's going to make prices go up on delivery from different companies, food, you know, delivery services, everything else. I have to raise prices to pay for the fuel. That is a cycle it goes in.
And you know what's interesting too? I was talking to someone this morning, and we were talking about the gasoline prices going higher. And he made a comment that, people are now going to trade out their SUVs, because when gasoline was, you know, holding around $2, everyone went out and traded in their fuel-efficient vehicles for SUVs. And now they're going to be complaining because now their SUVs are going to be taking a lot more gasoline than their little cars did. So they'll be going back and trading in their SUVs to get that fuel-efficient vehicle again. So
now might be a good time.
So maybe it's all planned. Maybe it's all planned just to keep the car industry moving along, because as we all know, it's stalling out. And
I don't know. It just it happened back in the 70s. You remember that, of course, gasoline when I first got married, you buy for 20 cents a gallon. That's the truth. You could. And as a matter of fact, you still could today, folks. Literally, you could buy 20 cents a gallon if you had real money. But nonetheless, when they had the oil shortages, price went up, you know, to 75 cents, 80 cents. Now people say, well, it goes to $1, I'm not going to buy anymore. Who are you kidding? You're going to buy it. If you want to go get something to eat, if you want to go to work, you're going to buy the gasoline. You'll pay $5 a gallon if you have to get to work and back. You may not go out on vacation. You may cut back on where you go just for a drive. But mainly, people will pay $5 a gallon because they have to go to work. That's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is. But I remember the gas lines in the 70s during the Arab embargo, oil embargo. And I remember in line, and there was a sign that said, if you purchased your gasoline in silver coinage, you got a discount.
Yep, I remember that. Same thing in Charleston, West Virginia. Yep, I remember that.
And they even did that in 2008. I think it was in Oregon. To where that if you paid in 90% silver pre-1960, up to including 1964, you got discounts.
And what's a dime going for? What's a silver dime going for now?
About $1.10.
So $2.20. Well, 30 cents tops. You could buy a gallon of gas, couldn't you?
Yes, you could.
$3.30 buy a gallon of gas. Yep, folks. That the price of gasoline has not went up. Don't you understand? The dollars come down. That's just the way it is. Like or lump it, you can say what you want to. So maybe silver's down a little bit right now, but you can still buy a gallon of gas for 30 cents. With silver. People think. I know for a lot of us it gives us a headache. We're not used to it. But think. Unbelievable. But anyway, now Wells Fargo. Did you hear this? Wells Fargo employee got caught improperly altering business customers' documents. Did you see that?
Well, I saw a headline. I didn't know if it was the same one that they had.
No, this just happened.
This is something new.
Yes, on 517. Just when you thought that after the last criminal offense by Wells Fargo, which was pushing customers into higher fee retirement accounts, surely there was no way Warren Buffett's favorite criminal organization would be caught again engaging in some even more bizarre criminal activity. At last, it was not meant to be. Wells somehow always finds a way, and moments ago, the WSJ reported that the latest scandal involving America's largest mortgage lender, some employees in the West Fargo Business Banking, a.k.a. Wholesale Unit, and is separate from Wells' retail division, improperly altered information on documents related to corporate customers without their knowledge. Now, Melody, is that not fraud? I mean, you think it would be? Is that not a federal offense? I mean...
But, hey, nobody cares about fraud anymore. Nobody cares about... Look what they did the LIBOR rate. You know, they lied and cheated on that, and all those contracts should be void. I mean, null and void, and no, who goes to jail? No one goes to jail. No one gets their fingers.
They didn't
spent.
The last time either, did they? They didn't. No. Like Wells Fargo didn't get in a whole lot of trouble last time. They slapped on the wrist
fines.
And turned loose to it again. Yeah,
a couple fines. That's all.
And what's a millions of dollars of fines to a business that as big as they are and as prosperous as they are, and doesn't hurt Warren Buffett at all? He can afford it.
Yeah, and you know what upsets me is that's what they're looking at for this ZTE that's been in the news, the China's company. Mm-hmm. The sanctions were on there. Companies were supposed to do business with them, but then all of a sudden, you know, the administration found out, well, gee, we have an American company that sells some products. So, you know, and the comment was, you know, a lot of people lost their jobs from ZTE, which is a Chinese company. Well, one of the possible outcomes on this is they might fine ZTE $1.3 billion. And it's like, so all this ruckus, all this, you know, we're going to go after them, we're going to charge them $1.3 billion and, you know, change the management. What right do we have to tell companies to change management? Who are we planning on putting in there to a Chinese company? I mean, are you... Anyway, but my point was... Anymore, you know, fines. That's all they get. No one goes to jail.
Well, I understand this. We'll find out. Time will tell that Trump and not just Trump, but some of his other cohorts are talking about putting some people in jail, like even Hillary Clinton. Now, I love to see that, but I'll believe it when I see it. Okay, when I see it, and I see it happen, I see her taken in custody and chains and put in prison, and her hubby right along with her. I will say, hey, Trump did something I totally agree with. And I hope I see that. I really, really do. We'll see. But again, you're right. Most of them, I mean, the most corrupt people in the world, and Hillary Clinton certainly one of them, is still walking the streets.
Yeah.
You know, and still doing their thing. So is Obama and all the rest of them. So time will tell. You may have saw this too, that Turkey repatriates all its gold from the U.S. in an attempt to ditch the dollar. You probably saw that.
Mm-hmm.
They're asking for all their stores back from the U.S. Federal Reserve. They want delivered to Istanbul Stock Exchange. But not only that, according to a German newspaper, the Turkish Central Bank is withdrawing all of its gold reserves from the U.S. due to tense political situation. However, in a strange twist, instead of moving the physical gold to Istanbul, as the Turkish press reported in April, the Swiss newspaper notes that around 19 tons of Turkish gold is now stored at the Basel Bank of International Settlements. It was not immediately clear why Turkey would shift its gold from the NY Fed to the BIS, whose historical gold tendencies have been well documented over the years. But Turkey, we have trouble having some words with Turkey, are taking their gold back from the Federal Reserve and pulling it back into themselves, which I think is a very bright idea, to tell you the truth. But they're willing to ditch the dollar. Well, the EU is wanting to ditch the dollar in trading for oil. So what would that mean to us financially? That's going to hurt the dollar, is it not?
Well, certainly you're going to have international trade pull away from the dollar. I mean, everybody understands where this is all headed. It's just, you know, the citizens of this country that don't have a clue. Everybody else knows, but not the people of this country. So, yeah, and I think Turkey, it is a political situation. I mean, look at their comments with Israel and everything else. They're pulling away, and it'll be interesting to see if – I don't know if they would pull out of NATO, but – you don't know where this is heading. And, you know, if some sort of war pops up, whose side are they actually going to be on? But absolutely. And when you think of the type of country that Turkey is, maybe they think the BIS is better to have it stored there than in Turkey, you know.
Well, but, I never understand why anybody wants to have their gold stored anywhere besides in their own possession.
I hear you.
You know,
you're absolutely correct. Yeah, everybody should be taking physical delivery of their gold, period. You never let other, countries store your gold. You know, I know I've talked to people who have metals stored in, Switzerland and all these other, Singapore, and it's like, are you kidding? Oh, but it's safe there. I do everything possible not to chuckle. Because how safe is it?
Yes, exactly.
What are you going to do when you need it? How long do you think it's going to take to get it?
if you get it at all.
If you get it. And then you have all the they take care of it for me. Oh, please. You know, I know someone very important that had quite a bit of silver stored over there and gold. And I was told it was the worst mistake they ever did. It was a lot. It was a lot. And they wanted to get it back into the country. Well, they couldn't. So they ended up selling it at huge losses and then getting the money here, and then they rebought here.
Oh, my.
In the States. So that's what happens. You're not going... If you have your metals stored offshore, don't ever think you're going to be bringing it back into this country. You'll be selling it and getting a check.
A great loss. Yeah, a great loss, yes.
A great loss.
And I'll cover one more thing real quick, too. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And an inconvenience to the people. But
Yeah. But I mean, you may saw this, too. Argentina, of course, you know, had an election the other day. You know that. And we wasn't no surprise who won. But Argentina seeks IMF financing following the yesterday's hikes of 40%. Now, can you imagine a hike of 40% interest rate in Argentina? You know, last year, that was a favorite destination for investors. And now, they're all leaving. The currency crisis has took over, and Argentina's central bank raised rates to 40%, Melody. How in the world can anyone manage that?
Well, it's great if you have... money in the bank. I wonder what rates they're paying for a CD. get your money out.
But if with the inflation rate of 40%, you're still losing a lot of money.
Losing a lot of money. The best thing again, gold, gold, gold.
There you go.
And the best thing again right now is we're out of time. And thank you for joining me today. We'll be back tomorrow with Dave Allen joining us for the next hour and Wendy Wilson for the first segment of the program on Wednesday. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my